Hello, welcome back to another Ask Lattice. Today I have Ella, who is one of our premium plan coaches, who sat on the sofa next to me. And in this video, we're going to be going through two really important topics or sort of subtopics. And this is all around red pointing and projecting. And we're going to break it into two parts. One is going to be really long-term projecting or red pointing, so things where you might have an entire season to work something close to you, you know, really accessible, and you're having lots of different sessions on it. And then the other is going to be short-term projecting or red pointing, where you might be on a trip and you're going to have 1 to 2 weeks on it, so much shorter time scale. And Ella and I are going to kind of go through that and chat what our experience is, and some tips around it and how we've dealt with that ourselves with our clients and, you know, our own climbing. But I thought the first thing we'd do is Ella obviously has a different perspective from me on this, and I want to just kind of get a little bit of insight into your own projecting journey, because I know that you've done a fair bit of projecting as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's been one of the main aspects of my climbing for quite a long time, both in bouldering and sport climbing. I'd say it sort of started in any seriousness with bouldering, and I have a bit of a, I don't know whether you want to say specialism, but I enjoy long boulders. So that kind of what could be a short power endurance route would also be a boulder that I've tended to specialise in. So I kind of pushed that to what I would consider to be my personal limit, and then started to migrate more towards applying that to being on the rope as well.
And is that boulders that are like 16 moves, 20 moves, that kind of length?
16 to 24 moves, so okay, yeah, pretty long. So one that I did in Australia was, I think, 24 moves for me, broken up by a double knee bar rest halfway. So it was not really a boulder problem, but it's definitely something. I don't know how much it definitely suits my skill set, but it's something that I've ended up finding myself on when I've been projecting boulders. That's not to say I haven't done shorter boulders, but I do quite like a bit of a long boulder and breaking it down and refining the beta and really getting to know the problem and working at it. I really enjoy that process. And then similarly, I've started doing that on routes in the last few years. So again, short power endurance style routes has been my sort of mainstay. Again, I think it's because it's where my strong suits are. Frankenjura is a classic place I've been to a few times, and I had a Red Point project that I sort of got on to scope out last year. Then I came back to it this year and did a lot of training for it, and it went second session on my repeat return trip. So that was a really fun experience to go through. And then I'm really keen to push the length of the routes at the moment. So I've got a new project at the moment in the Frankenjura that's considerably longer than what I'm used to. And I'm really enjoying the process of breaking that down and trying to get fitter for that.
Is that like 40 moves, 60 moves? How much of a beast is this thing?
That's a really good question.
It's 8C, right?
AB plus.
AB plus, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's probably, thing is, it's quite resistant. There's a big rest and resistant again. And I think it's probably around 60 moves overall, if that. But the top part is a lot easier. But for me, it's considerably longer than what I have been doing. And then I'd also like to do more in Spain and get on some longer projects around there. But yeah, it's exciting. I love red pointing.
Right, cool. And so for context also for everyone here listening is on your longest red points, how many kind of sessions are we talking about here? Because I know I definitely class myself as someone who will really siege something. Have you done stuff that's, you know, 40 sessions, 60 sessions? Have you gone really deep on stuff?
Not yet. I think the longest, so I had a project in the Frankenjura. I was there and I had about 4 or 5 weeks on it after I did the sort of earlier projects that I wanted to do in the trip. And really, fortunately, they went quite quickly. This one, I haven't counted the number of sessions I've had on it, but I'd guess it was at least 12 sessions, if not slightly more. And I'm going to go back to it next year. I don't know how many more sessions it will take, but I got really close. So I've got a feeling it's not going to be a 40 session type project, but yeah, I've got things in the back of my mind that may well take that long.
Yeah,
I haven't really... I've obviously worked with people who've delved into sort of working things for a long time, but I haven't quite hit that yet. How about you?
I'm definitely... I've gone down the whole siege process, and I think all the way back from maybe even 10 years ago or so, my first ever Fontete was probably a 60-session siege. And this was a roof crack that I did down in my kind of local area. And I probably had 3 years or something like that working on that particular project. And since then, I think I've had maybe three or four other things which may have gone into that 40, 50, 60 session siege. Although I think what this will come out when we kind of discuss this is that not every session is necessarily a 6 hour session at the crag. Yeah. Sometimes part of my siege is to go for half an hour, then I go and do something else. Yeah. Yeah. And then I've also done, you know, really short red point things where I've just tried to tick something quickly on holiday and I had five sessions on it and I really wanted to do that within, you know, 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've done quite a lot of that sort of 1 to 3 session level red pointing, particularly when it's not playing to my current strengths as well. So you sort of more fitnessy routes, I've quite enjoyed just getting a load of mileage in because that's what I've very much needed, and I've needed to build a base for me, a familiarity on that style. And so that kind of aiming for that 1 to 3 session level, irrespective of grade, because it will differ massively depending on the style of the route and how long it is for me, I think's probably a bit of a sweet spot for me in developing my climbing in that kind of zone for me, if that makes any sense. I learn a lot from those kind of trips.
And what do you think to everyone who's listening is that, do you think that there's more value for climbers in general to be doing short red pointing or long-term projecting, or is there value in both? Like what do we generally say to our clients that we're working with?
Yeah, I very much think, generally speaking, a bit of both is ideal. I think there are some exceptions to that. Perhaps if you're fairly new to climbing on rock and you just haven't got a depth of experience, it might be worth taking a bit of time to rack up some mileage and some experience so that you're moving well on the terrain and you're getting familiar with the style and you're getting your head into the mode of red pointing outside as well. There's nothing wrong, though, in my opinion, with having a bit of a stretch goal, you know, something that you just have a scoping go on one season with absolutely no design on trying to link it or red point it. You're just trying to work out the moves, see how far off you are. You know, are there any particular crux bits that are difficult, or is it just resistance all the way? And then that gives you a bit of a flavour of what you're facing when you do actually want to start having serious goes at it and preparing your training for that route as well. So I think it's good for motivation, isn't it? To have a bit of a, what would you call it, big, hairy, audacious goal, I think that used to be called. And I think it's great to have that in the back of your mind. But I also think it's really important not to just focus and zone in on that, particularly if it's right at your limit. But we can go on to talk about that in a bit more if we want.
Yeah, okay. Well,
do you agree with me?
No, I agree with you. It's, and I've said this lots in, you know, webinars and training groups that we've done with people, is that I think it comes down to a balance. But you do make an important point around the early, you know, the early career of any climber, that getting stuck into big, long sieges, I don't think is the right way forward. In terms of, you know, if it suits you and that's really what you're into, then yeah, fine, maybe go down that route. But I think in terms of long-term progression...
I don't know about you, when I've worked on real limit projects, I might get really good at that project, you know, to the exclusion of all else. Mm-hmm. And you'll come away and you might go to your local bouldering wall or you get on something quite different and you suck.
Yeah.
I came back from my trip in early November, and my first session back at the schoolroom, I was atrocious and I just had no pull. And I think that's what you get from climbing sort of slightly longer endurance routes. And so that's the real risk, is if you haven't got a good base and breadth of experience, you're learning how to climb one particular route and one style really well, but you're compromising your longer term development. And I don't know whether you still get this now. I still get this in the sense that I don't want all of my year to be taken up by one thing or one style of climbing. So I try very hard to make sure I do periodize when I'm going to be on my limit, sort of prod and when I want to be working more bass and more volume.
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. Can't do one thing all year long.
Well, as tempting as it is, it's really easy to get sucked in though. So I totally, and I have clients like this as well, you just sort of, you get a bit sort of focused on the goal because you get close and you make good progress. But I think it is worth taking that step back and thinking actually what is better for my climbing overall and planning that with your coach or if you do your own training, just really sitting down at the beginning of a year and working out, right, this is a period of the year when I'm training. I might be getting on the big prodge once a week, but that's just for learning, scoping, refining beta, and not for actually trying to make particular progress on. And then have other periods where you really sort of hone in on it.
Yeah, yeah. So if I feel like we're kind of we're naturally moving into the longer term project stuff, which is cool because you know we've both done a fair bit of that. So for everyone watching and listening, I think the place that I would probably start with this, and I think it's a question that you know lots of you who are watching will have, is how big do you go when you choose these longer term projects? I mean, what grade do you think it's good to pitch towards? Or how many grades above where you are now?
That's a really good question. And my instinctive answer to that is always maybe not so much about the grade and more about the line and the route and what you're most motivated by. So I think for some climbers, it might actually be the grade, to be fair. It might be I want to climb my first 8A or 8C or whatever it needs to be to motivate you. But then I think it's also, I think just for that inspiration and motivation is having an idea of exactly what that route is as well and making sure it means something to you. I think you gave me some advice once about, you know, getting some ideas and then, I don't know what you said, was it stewing on it or something? Or
let it brew.
And that resonated with me in terms of choosing potential things that you're psyched for as a goal is... have some ideas in your mind, really think on them and mull them over and like think about all the things like logistics and realistically how local is it to you? Are you going to be able to get on it enough? Given that if it's really at your limit, you're going to want to spend potentially multi-seasons on it. I don't have a hard and fast rule as to how high to go in terms of difficulty when it's that real limit / stretch goal, you know, multi-season. I tend to think it's pretty cool and badass to set something that's way above your current level, but just as with a dose of realism that you need to create a plan along the way and have your sort of tier two goals to help you get there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
what do you think?
Reality is definitely important. You know, I think there isn't that much benefit to gain that if you're climbing 8A right now is to throw yourself into a 9A project. If 8A is the hardest red point that you've ever done, albeit you could actually go and have a little dabble on a 9A for just one day, just stick clip up it and go and feel what the holds are like on a 9A just to get inspired by that. But I think going that far out is rarely, in my experience, beneficial to the climber long term. But if I was to put a sort of a rough rule or rule of thumb on it, I'd say climbers who haven't got that much experience in red pointing yet, but might have done a fair bit of climbing. I think you can be a little bit bolder than you think about how high you pitch in your project in grade, because you'll be surprised by how much progress you make in it, that you, after 30, 40 sessions, you can actually go quite a bit beyond where you are now. But those that are relatively experienced in that red pointing process already, I think you need to be a little bit more conservative about not pitching too far out of your zone, because I think the mental game and the resilience to withstand continual, essentially micro failing all the way through the year needs to be carefully moderated if you've already got a lot of projecting experience.
Yeah, I think you're right. And if you have got a lot of projecting experience, I think you start to realise what's possible over a number of sessions. So you'll have a first play on a route if you're quite experienced and you'll go, oh, I haven't done that move or that sequence in this session, but I can see how it will go. And you sort of build that knowledge, don't you, and awareness of, I know I'll get to be able to do this. And there will become a point when I think I can do this. So I guess that's in your favour if you've got slightly more experience. And that I think that means you sort of naturally want to dabble more on the route. So you want to sort of think, well, is it realistic for me to set this as a big goal? And if you have a dabble, then you'll be more aware of whether or not it's likely to be something you might be able to break down and feels feasible. Whereas I think if you've got less experience, it can be a whole great unknown, can't it? I don't know whether you've had that experience where you just get on a route and you think, whoa, I'm being shut down on all of these sections. I might not have done any single move. So I can't fathom how I might end up being able to redpoint this. But if you haven't got much experience, you might find, like you said, that you'll be pleasantly surprised at how quickly it can come together.
Yeah, or just not even sometimes how quickly it can also come together, but also how it will come together eventually.
Yeah.
Like the number of times that I've been to a crag with someone who I've tried my first one or two sessions on something, and they haven't done loads of red pointing themselves or, you know, long-term projecting. And I'll come down off it and they'll see me just basically fall off everything. I'll barely even do a move. I'll come back down to be there and they'll go, oh, so you're going to choose something else then? And I'm like, no. No, I trust this. I know that.
Yeah.
I know I cannot seem to do anything right now, but I know where my personal experience and limits are, that I think in 10 sessions time, I'll actually have probably half the moves done.
Yeah.
And so you trust your own process deeply because you've done it enough.
Yeah.
Whereas the other way around, where you just have no confidence in what you can do and how far you can go in 10 sessions, is really, you just have to gain it through experience.
Yeah.
And you can really get it wrong in terms of where you're pitching yourself for projecting because you just don't know that yet.
And I think it helps in that I've climbed with quite a few elite level climbers who are a notch better than me, and watching them go through that process of, you know, belayed someone over multiple sessions on 9A type level routes, and you just watch them and their main goal for each session will be to work a small 10 move section of a really long route. And that sort of blew my mind initially, like a few years back, of whoa, there's this whole route to climb and your main aim of this session is just those 10 moves. And so I think you sort of, by climbing with those people, I think you start to pick up fairly quickly how the process can work and how it can all come together.
Yeah, actually, you alluded to that earlier when we were talking about, or I think I briefly mentioned it, about how not all sessions on long-term red points can look the same as traditional climbing sessions of going to the crag for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, is that when I have stuff that's really long term, I may actually go to the crag in, you know, perfectly warmed up state. I warmed up back at home on a fingerboard, and I may end up having only 30 minutes, 45 minutes, just quickly working a very particular section that's utterly at my limit.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I'm done on that, I'll save my skin or my mental energy, and I might get back in my car and I drive to a different crag. Or I do something else completely different at that same crag because I'm very focused at knowing that the key little chunk to get progress on is that specific bit.
Yeah.
And I know that that works. And yeah, I think me and you, we've done it ourselves and we've seen lots of people do the same.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks weird though, doesn't it? When someone just does a tiny bit and then...
I had this in Germany actually. The route I was trying, I would rock up knowing I was only going to have 2 goes up it max. I think on sometimes it was only 1, and I'd go and I'd say, right, I'm working crux 2. Or actually I'm going to get up to the rest and I'm going to work out the best position. Just double check there aren't any knees because I quite like to find knee bars where I can. And then I'll come down. And there were other people at the crag who were saying, oh, are you done for the day? And I'd say, yeah, I'm just going to go to another crag and do a few routes that are really easy. Because I knew there wasn't much value. It was skin-wise and the temps were quite warm as well. And I was waiting for the temps to cool down a bit. But it was good for motivation. I don't know whether you find that, because you end up just, you go with a specific little micro goal, you achieve it, you feel good about it, and then you prepare for the next day. And all the pieces of the puzzle just slowly come together, rather than taking an approach on a quicker type red point where you might be, which we'll talk about shortly, where you might just be having a go within the same session. Quite different approach.
Yeah, very different. What do you think to, and again, I think this is something that a lot of our clients or people listening will be thinking about, is how they factor in long-term red points with peak and base periods of performance or training. So if I want to, you know, I want to climb this 8A at the crag in my local area, but I know that I can only be in peak shape for 3 months of the year, but actually the season's probably quite good for 6 months.
Yeah.
how do we treat that?
Yeah, that is tricky. I think some of our American friends are really lucky, or unlucky, depending on how you want to look at it, in the sense that they've got enormous seasons where they could put months and months in a row into their project. And I think for me and those clients that I work with, it's about really trying to take that step back at the beginning of the training year and think, when am I gonna dedicate myself to base type training, so I can build all the foundations of sort of my fitness and my strength and what I need to be able to do the route, but not focused at all on performance on the route. And then saying, right, at this point, the conditions get really optimal, and this is when I'm going to have a specific phase when I'm focused on trying to peak and trying to, you know, for a long-term project, might be I'm going to try and do some actual links. And before then going on to actual full-on red point attempts, because I always find that it depends on the style of the route and the length of the route, but working a route can get you really beaten up as well.
Yeah.
Like particularly those longer routes, and that's not to be underestimated. So even though you might have decided, right, in these months of the year, I'm just base training, but I'm going to get on the prog once a week just to build up familiarity with the moves, I still think you have to be quite careful with those kind of longer routes that do beat you up. And that's why, as we were talking about, having these little micro goals rather than just trying to work the whole route in your session every time are really important. But yeah, I definitely, for me, and I need to do it for myself as well, so that I'm not spreading myself too thinly, because in the UK we don't really have the luxury of huge home seasons, but we have quite a variety of climbing available to us. So it can be very easy to get a bit distracted and ending up trying to be good at everything, which can be a bit of a problem as well sometimes. So yeah, making that decision upfront and consciously. And then I think probably working out within each of those phases what you're going to do. So in your base phase, for example, you're going to have to get out of your mind any expectations of starting to do major links on the prog or trying to perform on it. But then equally, when you're in peak phase, it's making sure that your training isn't taking up too much of your energy and time and doing enough to maintain. And again, what you do and what's enough will depend on the style and the length of the route.
Yeah, it's a very tricky balance. And I feel like I've got it wrong lots of years and not quite got it right. And then likewise, we see the same things with our clients. We're struggling with this. And I always try and kind of get my head into this mindset that if it's base phase and I'm preparing for a route, I'm focused on my base and making significant improvements on the things that I need for my project. And I put all my sort of mental energy into focusing and thinking about that. So that even if I am going to the crag and trying little sections or trying a particular move and seeing whether my shoulders are stronger in that particular, you know, crux that I've struggled with previously, or I'm more flexible or whatever it is, I don't focus a lot of my kind of brain space and energy on that, even though I might be going to the crag. I put that all into the training part. But then when I move into peak season and I'm really working on the project, I put all that, the brain energy into the project, and any training that I'm doing on top of it, I just do that as almost like I'm just turning up, I'm just doing it, I'm getting it done, and it's complimentary, and as long as it is complimentary, but it's like, just turn the switch, just do it.
Yeah.
But really good high energy and focus when you're at the crag, because you just can't, or me personally, and I think a lot of people can't pull out 4 to 5 sessions a week of very good high energy, high focus, indoors and outside, project and training, you're just exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah, you just spread yourself too thin. And then you just lose psych, I think, more quickly as well. And you get a bit lost. And I think that can happen when you're totally focused and zoned in on the project as well, which again is why I think you need to be quite alive to that. You might say, I'm going to have a 6-week period of peak. But if you get 4 weeks in and your brain's feeling really razzed out and you're finding it hard to focus when you're at the crag, then that's also maybe a time to organically just switch things up a bit and maybe do something slightly different for a bit of a break. I've seen a lot of people sort of feel the toll of red point stress descending upon them. And I think sometimes just taking that break for a few days, doing something completely different, there's no pressure. I think it's helped a lot of climbers that I know and a lot of clients we work with.
Yeah.
So that's just another tactic, I think, that you can use when you are in that peak phase as well.